As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Hello and welcome to Front and Nationwide. This is The Athletic's dedicated Blue Jackets podcast. Aaron Portz, I'm with you on a Tuesday afternoon. Happy to be with you today in many ways. Blue Jackets with an eventful, boy, what an eventful last 10 days it's been. New coach, although not official yet. It's coming. Mike Babcock. Most likely July 1st. Two new defensemen. They got a whole new defensive pair. They may not play together, but it is significant to have picked up two top four defensemen in the span of 72 hours. The Blue Jackets did that with Ivan Provorov, a trade, three-way trade. They got Provorov from the Flyers in that three-way trade with the Kings, Blue Jackets, Flyers. And then a couple of days later, trade for the rights to Damon Severson. The third round draft pick is the price there. Pretty good, actually, my opinion, and pretty worth it to get the exclusive negotiating rights to Severson. He gets what he wants out of it, 8 years, and the Blue Jackets get him without having other people butting in their way with their own conversations as they would have on July 1st. So big moves on the back end. If you also couple those with the moves that have happened up front, Voronkov signing from Russia, Texier announcing that he's coming back after a year in Switzerland, and the impending number three pick, the Blue Jackets could look dramatically different. Just got back from the scouting combine. We can talk about that. Kind of an uneventful combine, which is it's interesting how these things work. When the draft is so good and so heavily discussed leading up to the combine, sometimes the combine's not all that interesting or compelling. Some interesting interviews up there, some great prospects. It's a hell of a draft, and it's the perfect draft for a team like Columbus that needs a centerman and is picking high. So we can get into some thoughts and questions there. We can go Babcock. The team can't talk Babcock, but we surely can. And we can talk about those defensemen. We can also talk about what else might be coming. Can they fix center ice position? It's not easy to fix. I ran some numbers the last couple of days, checked them over with people in the know with the organization just to make sure I'm on the right path here. And they've got some confusing, they've got a little bit of a confusing situation. It's better to be this way than the others. They've got 15 forwards that you look at and go, yeah, he should make it. And that doesn't count Olivier, Matthew Olivier, who's an RFA, and that doesn't count the number one draft pick, the number three overall, who could make the team this year, especially if it's Carlson. So there's 17 guys, and you really can't keep more than 14. So what do they do? On the back end, they've got 8 defensemen on one-way contracts, and that does not count David Yurecek. It doesn't count Stanislav Svozil either. I think most people think that Svozil is probably a year away from being in the NHL, but he is very, very close. And in years past, they may have rocketed him up to the third pair. They don't need to do that now. They don't need to cram Yurecek into the lineup if he's not ready. That's one of the things I really like about the Severson acquisition. But what do they do back there? Because you're not going to carry 8. You know, you're not carrying 8 unless you're carrying 13 forwards. And how can you carry 13 forwards if we just rattled off 15, not including Olivier and the first-round draft pick this year? So can Jarmo Kekalainen make a multiple-player for singular-player trade? And does anybody want – is there any value coming back for some of those multiple players that they would be willing to part with? I think on the back end, you look at Peak, you look at maybe Blankenberg. I'm not sure where Bean would be coming off missing an entire year with injury. Probably the guy that they could get the most for that would be seen as expendable back there, expendable would be Boqvist. And I'm not sure they want to move on him just yet. He's the youngest guy in the group. Adam Boqvist is, believe it or not. When you think of Peak, Peak's like almost 3 years older. Blankenberg is older. That's how young Boqvist still is, and he's had some pretty impressive moments. Up front, I think a lot of people expect Roslovic to be moved. That's just one bit. But what does Roslovic get you in return? And is there a market to package Roslovic and Peak or Roslovic and Boqvist for something? What does that look like? So we can get into all that. We've got a lot of summer left to go here. Jarmo Kekalainen's already had a pretty good summer, and it's just really hasn't even gotten started yet. The Stanley Cup is still going on, although barely, Florida. Let's chat. We've got people standing in stage. We've got people who have sent text messages in. We appreciate them all. Paul, you are on front nationwide. Let's do this.
Hello, Bordy, Paul. How are you?
Hey, good, man. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Hopefully Buffalo was a good trip for you.
Always. Always.
So, a lot of moves have been made. Obviously, Yarmo's making a focus. He does not want to see the team give up 300 or more goals again. Ever, it seems like.
Correct.
And he's changed almost every cog in the wheel except for goalie. Do you see a chance that he gets aggressive and makes a play for one of the big goalies that are kind of looming out there, mostly kind of Connor Hellebuyck? I think it would be kind of cool to see him in Union Blue. Is there a possible chance that he could package a defenseman, Merzlikins, and because he doesn't need any more prospects, a first-round draft pick next year for Hellebuyck, something like that?
So I would not rule anything out. I think you can always probably safely say that, but maybe especially so with Jarmo in the spot that he's in right now. I don't think that's likely, however, just because the price for Hellebuyck is going to be, it's going to be one hell of a price. And I'm not sure they're in that spot right now where they need to be dangling next year's first, as you mentioned. I know that's not, you know, for sure what it would take to get him. I'm not sure they've got pieces on this roster that are expendable that would entice the Jets to do that. And I don't think the Jets, I don't think Elvis Merzlikins is a tradable commodity right now. I think your best bet with him, I think you have to rehabilitate him yourself. And I use that word meaning purely his game. You got to build his game up on your own. And I think I think this was in the Sunday gathering this week. One of the best parts of these moves this week, or the last 10 days, from Babcock to the defenseman, honestly, to Voronkov too, from what we've been told of him, is that as a defensive and checking line forward. This should make life easier, or at least there should be fewer excuses around Elvis Merzlikins now. I think it's only fair, sure, to criticize his play last year. It was dreadful. And we've said that in a million different ways. He has said that. It's only fair to note that this was one of the most porous and pathetic defensive teams we've seen in a very long time. And I don't think that was just the goaltending. That would be way too easy. I don't think it's just the defenseman either. That's too easy. It is a demand of this new coach that if you're not checking, you're not playing. And it's just that simple. It's not everybody else's job to do in the defensive zone. It's everyone's job to do. And so I suspect with a lot of those things, Elvis is going to see different shots this coming season. He's going to see different pucks. Same with Tarasov. Tarasov wasn't great either. Really, nobody that played for them last year was good except for Korpisalo, and that tells you what kind of year Korpisalo had. That's got to get better. I think it did get better. I think, obviously, just Werenski being healthy makes them so much better defensively because they won't be defending as much, plain and simple. I think they're stuck with Elvis at least for another year to fix it. And I may be an idiot. I've been called such. Goalies are weird, man. They're weird and they're unpredictable. Aiden Hill was a terrible goaltender till the playoffs. Right? Sergei Bobrovsky's had three mostly awful seasons in Florida. Amazing in the playoffs. He's kind of hit a rough spot here at times in the final. But goalies are all over the place. And Elvis could just be the latest example of that. I'm not ready to give up on him. I think their club's doing what they needed to do. They've surrounded him now with, it's not the best defense in the league. It's markedly better than it was. And it certainly should be competitive. So now it's up to him to take it the rest of the way.
Sounds good. So you think definitely pressure's on him to perform. There's the excuses are kind of being, eliminated. With the system and everything. So we'll see what happens. You think this is enough to elevate for him to elevate his play or allow him to elevate his play?
I think it's the best. I think it's a path in the right direction, but the rest is going to be up to him. The other thing is they're very, very high on Tarasov. So I don't know that if they don't believe in Elvis anymore, if the answer is to go outside the organization, I think they're very interested to see what Tarasov can look like if he can get. He may need to be in better shape. Maybe he just had better luck or worse luck last year, but he was injured a ton last year. We don't know what's up with that. But he's an impressive goalie. I think they think he might be the answer, and they might look to him before they threw major resources at something else. I think they want to fix center ice is the next objective. If they can, and that some of that's drafting number 3 overall, and some of that might be with other moves that are coming that we can't possibly know. But it's a collection of names out there that could be of interest to them.
Sounds good. Excited to see what happens. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Let's get to some text questions here. Michael, let's see. ENM says, could you see Tony Granato being an assistant coach candidate? Used to be on Babcock staff, has ties to Wisconsin and Columbus. Yes. I think that'd be fantastic, but I don't know what's happening with the assistant coaches here. It's very strange. It's fallen quiet with, Pascal Vincent, with Steve McCarthy, with Jared Boll, with Kenny McCudden, all 4 of them, radio silence. And I don't think they've talked to Babcock either. That's my understanding. So they are quite in limbo. This is a weird stretch here. They've still got almost 3 weeks before they can announce a new coach. The tough thing for Pascal Vincent, of course, would be that as this is dragging on, the final spots are filling up. It's kind of tough. Granato is a guy that makes a ton of sense and he's a class dude, and know him a little bit from his throughout his coaching career. So yeah, it would be interesting. Brett S. says, how active are the Jackets in trade talks for a center? Is it real or is this just talk? I assume they will stay aggressive, but is this more of a bridge type player to get them to the third overall joining the team? What can fans expect in terms of center upgrades? Well, it's the age old question here. Like, if you're drafting a center at number three, and they are, they're not even making any bones about it. If they take Matvei Michkov, this is the greatest snow job in the history of drafts. They're taking a center. And they would know how they feel about what that player's development is. So, in other words, if you're drafting Karlsson, there's a chance he's in the league this year. I don't think many expect him as a rookie this year to be a dominating top six NHL player. You're going to have some growing pains there. So that doesn't, long term, you hope that that fixes the position, yes. Especially with Sillinger, with Johnson, with Voronkov. You've got some young players with a lot of potential that could be one, two, three, top three players. You know, top three, nine, or top nine, top third line players. But the fix doesn't come right away with this year's draft. So do you then step out and do you go after a Ryan O'Reilly, who's 32? Does JT Compher interest you? Does Sean Monahan interest you? Bit of a flyer there. He's only 28. Really good friends with Johnny Gaudreau. They could probably pull that one off. There's three free agents there that I think are interesting. Now, Ryan O'Reilly for this team is probably a second-line center right now. I don't think any of these guys, none of these guys are first-line centers, none of the free agents. But they make your top six better. Now, what are you doing with Roslovic? Is Jenner still going to play in the middle? They got a lot of questions here. They've got a couple of third-line candidates, fourth-line candidates even, with Kiraly and Voronkov, third or fourth line. How do they see Sillinger? There's a lot to get through there. I still feel like, until further notice, Boone Jenner is going to be playing center for this team again next year. Not the end of the world. But how much longer do you want that to be? It's a fair question. And is Karlsson the pick? Is Smith the pick? And how soon are they impactful players? Smith's not until at least, not this coming year, but the year after. He's going to Boston College for at least a year. So do you go get a free agent for 2 years, 3 years? Does Ryan O'Reilly want to sign a 2 or 3 year contract in a place like Columbus? And I say a place like Columbus, it's not the place, it's the opportunity. It's the chance to win a cup, another cup. Sean Monahan, 28 years old. Is he going to want a 2 year deal? I don't know. He might have to take it after the injuries that he's had. He might be delighted with the 2 year deal. I think a 1 year deal for the Blue Jackets would be ideal, but I'm not sure who's jumping on that. Trade wise, there's a bunch of guys available. The asking price, of course, will be significant and you know, increases as they are more bona fide number ones. Pierre-Luc Dubois available. And hey, if the problem with it was John Tortorella, he's not here anymore, PL. I'm joking a little bit. What about Mark Scheifele? Interesting cat. Hell of a player in his prime. Travis Konecny is reportedly available. Scott Laughton has played some center. Kevin Hayes is a guy that's been talked about a ton. I mean, $7 million. I think he's got 3 years left, maybe more. 3 years left. There's no way I'm paying him $21 million at his, and I just don't think he's a fit with Babcock. He wasn't a fit before. Now you know who the coach is. Egad. Elias Lindholm. What's the asking price for Lindholm after the season he had a couple of years ago? Now he's 1 year away from UFA. Would the Blue Jackets gamble with that? Evgeny Kuznetsov has had some off-ice issues. He may be on his way out in Washington. Adam Henrique in Anaheim. Some of these names don't jump off the page as for sure top six. Some of them are middle six. Very few of them are actual number one centers. Those guys rarely move. So there's some candidates there for the Blue Jackets if they want them. But your question is a good one. Can they find – it's like almost like a bridge to the defenseman prospects on the back end. Can they find a bridge until Carlson or Smith is ready? What if Fantilli drops to them in the draft? So I would not do anything until after the draft, until I know what Anaheim is doing it too. I think they're taking Fantilli. I think they're taking Fantilli. I'd be shocked if they didn't. So, yeah, but if I get Fantilli, then it changes what I think I need at center, because Fantilli's going to play for you this year and probably make an impact. So that's about as long-winded a question of I don't know. I don't know as I can give you. But I think that's the landscape for them at center. If you look at them on paper, Jenner, Roslovic, Sillinger, Kuraly, Voronkov, I'm not counting McCown, who played with him late last year. He seems to be like a guy who still needs to work his way up. He's probably an AHL guy this year, and the first round draft pick. So you've got seven candidates here. That's pretty cool. That's assuming Peterson moves along through UFA status. So tons of options, no real clear 1-2 in that mix. And a part of their frustration is because Roslovic has been so in and out, and we'll see what happens to him.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Brandon D says, let's address the real elephant in the room. Are you leaving us for another beat after the recent layoffs at The Athletic? Brandon, the good news is I am still here. Feel awful for those who left us not by their own choice yesterday. No one's really sure what the future holds. I'm not trying to be, I'm not trying to confuse you or tell you less than half the story. We just don't know at this point. But thanks for asking. Austin H says, Elvis had a terrible year last year. Don't get me wrong, but we should acknowledge that his best years in games were under John Tortorella's shot blocking, shutdown defenses. This is from Austin H. We'll go back to the stage here in a second. And when we do, it'll be Andrew Y. We're trying Andrew Y, and we're going to make it happen again. Give me just 1 second, Andrew. Elvis will certainly have better numbers simply by having a healthy and reliable defense in front of him. Yes? Well, we've talked about that a little bit. I know your question was sent in before that. I do think it's better. I do think there's reason to believe that there may be allowed for Elvis a comfort level. He's also getting a new goalie coach, which we didn't mention, which I didn't mention earlier. And as we reported yesterday, it looks like it's going to be Nicholas Backstrom, the great Minnesota Wild goalie. Played previously in Finland as was a wonderful player in Europe for many years, then came to the Wild and was fantastic during the early years of the Blue Jackets. He's been with the Blue Jackets now for a few years. Very patient, very calm, very intellectual. I'm very interested to see what sort of impact he would have on Elvis. And Elvis, we've talked about the level of professionalism that needs to be there. say what you will about Nicklas Backstrom, and most people have never been anything but complimentary towards him. He was a pro's pro in so many ways. And so that could be a very good example for Elvis. So, yes, I do think he's better. Patrick D. says, I've noticed you seem to always get the first question at press conferences. Is this a sign of respect from the writers who cover the Blue Jackets as you've covered them the longest, or is there some sort of order? Well, Patrick, you're getting into the how the sausage is made. You know, I don't think it's it's not always me that asks the first question. Maybe I'm the most forthright. Maybe I'm too forthright sometimes. So yeah, I don't. There's certainly not a pecking order. It's very much wide open. But thanks for the question. Let's go to the stage here, Andrew Y. Do we have you, Andrew Y?
You finally have me. So I don't know what was going on, but it just was not. The tap to unmute was not even showing up. So I don't know what was going on.
All right. Well, let's make it count, brother.
All right. So, so a couple different things. You talked a lot about the center prospect and everything else. Like, I feel like that's always been kind of the thing with the Blue Jackets since the existence. We've never truly had a 1C. And the problem that I see right now is if you look at the entire roster, the only person who even approaches like the 1C, 2C category, you know, is Boone Jenner. And I think everybody else has not really performed up to even playing a 2C role. And so one of the things, like, I know you went over a lot of different options and you know, whether Fantilli is going to be chosen or is it going to be Carlson, you know, depending on what the Ducks do. My question going back is, you know, do you feel like Jarmo's being pressed into doing this finally? Because, you know, us fans have been clamoring about this for years. Even when he had a defense, he would, you know, we never truly had a 1C. And he's always said, his go-to remark has always been, you know, well, they're hard to obtain. Well, yeah, they're hard to obtain. But even if we get Carlson or we pick Smith, I mean, you're probably talking 2 to 3 years at a minimum before they're even ready to just even start. That's not even an impact. And you're at that point in time, you're talking about you're in the year 4 or 5 of Johnny Gaudreau and you're having to re-sign Patrick Laine and you're not really, you know, really competing. You may make a wild card, but you're not really competing. So do you see like him being pushed into actually having to make a move like that this summer?
Well, I don't. I think he has had. He traded one C away. Ryan Johansson was certainly on the cusp of becoming a 1C All Star 70-point guy in Columbus. They drafted another Pierre-Luc Dubois, who forced his way out of town on a trade. Jarmo was the GM then. It's his club, so it's his responsibility. These things happen under his watch. But those are. He's right to say that is a hard thing to get, and wanting it is not enough. Those guys were both drafted by the Blue Jackets. Very rarely do number ones move. Pierre-Luc Dubois moved. He's moving again, apparently. But those guys don't come up and move very often. And I would suggest that the asking price when Pierre-Luc Dubois is traded likely this summer, it may be muted a bit because he only has 1 year remaining and everybody is convinced he wants to go to Montreal. In the normal setting, those guys cost a truckload. Like when you think what the Blues had to do to get Ryan O'Reilly and the price they paid and how obscene it seemed at the time, it's easy to say now because they won a cup and O'Reilly was incredible. But when they traded for him, I remember thinking, my God, that's a lot to give up for Ryan O'Reilly. But those are the kind of deals you almost have to make. You got to take some chances. You have to really roll the dice. And in this case, it worked out for them. I think it's much, much easier to land second pairing defensemen than it is top centermen. The joke across the league is, you know, how many number one centers are there? In theory, there's 32. In reality, there's probably 18. they just don't move. It's a rare thing to find. You don't have to have one either. The problem I see with the Blue Jackets is Jenner's playing out of his position. And I always feel like I need to say this. This is no crack on Boone Jenner. He almost deserves a medal for playing out of position and playing as well as he does in that spot. He is ideally a second line left winger. And here he is taking one for the team without complaint. He loves the ice time. He loves the responsibility. As you say, he's the only guy that can really even fake his way through it, do it. It's that other spot. Rossovic can't hold it down. Sillinger wasn't ready for it this year when it looked like he was going to be ready for it last year. If you had two Jenners or two players like that, I think you'd feel kind of okay about the center ice position. But everybody wants the big hoss down the middle. I get it. They hope that's what Carlson becomes. That may be really, truly the only way to land that guy is the season that they just went through. And you get him and you hold on tight to him. Carlson is such an aberration. Probably a 2C, but I don't think anybody here thought he was anywhere close to that when he left here. He was a checking line guy. Would he have 6 goals his last year in Columbus? And then he explodes. I mean, crazy. They let one get away there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm under no illusion of wanting, like, the, you know, like you said, the big hoss on the middle, but you worry about kind of the health of Jenner and playing him.
Absolutely.
You know, and then he only has a couple years left, and then you're still like 3 or 4 years away, you know, a couple years away, even if you land Carlson, of him being a total impact. Even if he plays next year, you don't count that in, and you're not going to throw him into the 1C. You're probably going to put him in, you know, the 3C or, you know, at most 2C to work his way up and then see where he goes. That's where I say there's like this huge gap. And it's funny. I normally don't like to mention like other people during, especially during this call, but I mean, Cervelli, who's normally a big, like, rips on Columbus a lot, you know, and says whatever else, has actually been defending Columbus a lot, saying, wow, you know, look what they did on defense. He says, all they're missing is that center. And if they got a Lindholm, I know it costs, but if they got a Lindholm, you can book it. They're probably a wild card or even into the, like, that guy is going to do it. And they had a big argument this morning or last night on the podcast where they're talking about the centers and whatever else. And like you said, they said that, you know, they rattled it off and they said there's probably only 15 true 1Cs in the league.
Yeah.
And they rattled them off. And they said, then comes the next one. But, you know, like the guys who are on the fringe edge of a low end 1C, but a high end 2C. And they talked about, like, Lindholm is that, and, you know, he's probably only one of 2 or 3 that's there that could do that. And so, that, I guess that's why I'm bringing it up is more about, do you think, you know, Lindholm becomes available? And if the ask is there, like, do you think Yarmo goes after it?
I do. I think he's making phone calls. I think he's being aggressive. The way that I figured this out, money wise, is they've got, with 15 forwards, again, they're going to have to subtract some of them. You can't keep 15. And 8D, and again, that doesn't count. You're a check. The 15 forwards doesn't count Olivier or the first round draft pick. So there's a lot of wiggle room there. But with all of this together, project their lineup. These are the guys they're probably keeping. They're around $78.5 million, which leaves them $5 million to spend.
Now, last thing I wanted to say, Porty, with all the layoffs and everything else happened yesterday, I do appreciate what you do, and I hope that. I know you had some friends affected. I hope that doesn't happen to you, and you have a fruitful future here with the Athletics. So yeah. I appreciate what you do.
Thanks. People like you and everybody listening really help. I appreciate that. Thank you. All right. We got Josh W. Josh, you've been on hold a little while here. Thanks. Sorry about that. Let's get you in here, then we'll go to William E. and Ryan L. after that. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, Porty, can you hear me?
Gotcha.
All right, so with the rumors around the Jackets looking for another defenseman in Colton Parayko, what would that end up costing the Jackets? And the other question, with Werenski's injury history, how likely would the Jackets be to move on from Werenski for a player of equal caliber with a history of being able to be stable and not miss as much time as Werenski seems to do year after year? And just throwing this out here as a fun comment, with the ridiculous public outlash of the Babcock hiring and the Provorov, the Jackets should go ahead and just top the cake and just go ahead and trade for Tom Wilson.
Wow. So, I mean, the Parayko, the only way Parayko seems to make sense for me, or any other defenseman for that matter, is if there are multiple pieces heading from Columbus to the Blues. Because they got to thin out at some point. They can't just keep adding. They can't have 9 one-way contracts on defense, not including Juracek. So if that's Peak and Blankenberg, or Peak and Bean, along with Roslovic for Parayko or something to shed bodies, I could see a move like that. They've got room. They've got financial room more than they have roster space. I don't think it's just a straight draft pick for Parayko, or a prospect for Parayko, because there's got to be, nothing against Parayko, it makes him bigger and meaner, and holy smokes, the back end is starting to get rather large now with Gudbranson, Parayko, Severson. Oh my God, you've got some beef back there now.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. It's starting to look like the Space Jam, the Monstars back there and back in.
But in order to do that, they'd have to clear some bodies out. And again, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if the Blues are in the market for, if they're looking for multiple cheaps, or if they're just looking to shed Parayko. They don't want to take even money back if they do that. But if they can get even money back for 3 roster spots, then maybe it makes sense. I'm not sure what St. Louis's situation is. But yeah, that's how I think it would have to be. As for Tom Wilson, you know, hey, Blue Jackets fans, I think, would come around pretty quickly and would probably start buying Wilson sweaters in the Union Blue if things work that way in the league. I also feel like Wilson's maybe best years have been spent already, and so I'm not sure that he, going forward, is going to be the weapon that he has been. That's a rough way to make a living. I do think the Blue Jackets have gotten significantly larger with the Voronkov signing. I think people are going to be really excited to see him play. But yeah, oh my God, if they had Parayko and Wilson, as you mentioned, I know we're spitballing here, but my God, that's a hell of a team getting off the bus. At every rink in the league.
Well, the only reason I brought up the Wilson thing is because we have Olivier that has played with his heart on his sleeve. Like, the dude's got heart and he fights night in and night out. But realistically, he's going to be fighting for a roster spot.
Absolutely. And he's also an RFA.
Right. So my thinking is, why not bring in a guy who could kind of fill that role, that could put up more points, that would be more of a stability player to have, that you know you can count on night in and night out? Because Wilson doesn't miss much time other than when he's had his suspension issues, but that seems to be something in the past. So
yeah, he missed quite a bit last year with injuries.
Right. And then what's your thought on the Werenski being traded for a more stable player?
Yeah, no, I think Werenski's their guy. I don't see that as even being an issue. I think he's a really big part of this team on the ice, off the ice. I think last year and the injury that he suffered was seen as bad luck, not
not indicative of a player that's not in shape. I think he is seen in a lot of ways as part of the heart and soul of this team.
Do you have any indications that the Jackets have made any changes as far as like personnel training for like strength and conditioning? Because this seems to be an issue year after year with the Jackets.
Yeah, I don't know if it's year after year. It certainly was last year. The other thing I'll say is, I can ask questions about it, sure, and I have. But a lot of these injuries, like Werenski goes into a hit, misses, and tries to brace himself with his arm and gets hit. Voracek gets elbowed in the mouth. These are not soft tissue issues indicative of people that are out of shape. Some years it sucks. Some years it's just like that. I also think a team, when it's psychological, perhaps, but when a team looks around and sees 3 weeks into the season that it's getting its head beat in every night, that is demoralizing. And guys tend to get injured a lot in a season that is completely demoralizing. And once it starts, it doesn't stop. Justin Danforth's injury was not because he was out of shape or trained the wrong way. It's a bad luck injury. Justin being the same way. If you get hit in the hand and break your hand, I think Boone broke a finger. That's not, you didn't train well enough. That's just shitty luck. And they had a ton of that. I don't think year in, year out, they have a ton of, there were years ago, so many groin injuries. I don't know if you remember this. There were just so many groin and abdominal injuries that they brought in a new guy, Nelson Iod, and things got cleaned up. Immediately, that guy made changes to what they do, and they really haven't had many of those since. Now, I'm sure that a similar housekeeping was done this season. Is there any commonality to this? What are we doing wrong? What can we fix? But I don't know of any answer that's been revealed that says, X, we need to fix X. I think you cross your fingers and hope for better luck. I think guys just in general need to be in better shape. Patrick Laine had a bunch of injuries that I think a lot of people think can be attached to his training. If you can single one person out, Elvis the same way, Tarasov the same way. They've got some guys that have a lot of soft tissue injuries that I think they lit a fire under after the season. They said, this is what we're doing now. And if you're not in this shape when next season starts, there's going to be consequences. So we'll see when training camp starts what guys were able to meet those and which guys weren't.
All right. Well, thanks for taking the question, Porty. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Let's go back. We'll get to William E. and then Ryan L. And then we'll get to some text questions to wrap it up here. Go ahead. You are on the Front and Nationwide podcast.
Hello, William. If we were to trade, yes, can you hear me?
Yep.
If we were to trade for Kevin Hayes, what would the value that we'd have to give up for somebody like that? Where would he fit? Is he a third or fourth line? Is he higher than Boone on the lineup as a center? And then second question, do you think Corpy would come back?
Well, to Kevin Hayes, I think at best you would consider him a second line center. And at $7 million, that is, in my opinion, a complete no-go. It would have to be the Flyers eating a huge part of that contract or taking back things that you're ready to part with. And I'm not sure. I think Kevin Hayes and Gaudreau are really good friends, for what that's worth. I'm not sure Hayes would be a great fit under Babcock, from what I've heard of both people's personality. So I'm not sure if there is a price there that makes sense, but you would view him as a second line center. What was the second question? I'm sorry.
Would Corpy consider coming back?
Oh,
or is he in the, because we need a third NHL goalie. Yeah.
You know what? If I'm Corpy, I'm not even answering the phone from Columbus, because there's too long of a relationship there. You're going to end up watching Netflix together and you're going to get back together again. Just stay away. Move on. It was a great run. I love Corpy. Is one of the favorite people I've covered. He's such an earnest, kind soul. And I loved watching him play well with the King. And I think he needs to be elsewhere and just take off and fly on his own. And I think it's going to happen, because I think he's a hell of a goalie. But if I were him, I would not even – I wouldn't – nothing against the fine people of Columbus, Ohio, or the organization. I would just feel – if I were him, I would feel like I gave the best years of my career to that organization and may have been spent better elsewhere. I would move along, especially if you have an opportunity to be a number one somewhere. They made their decision here. That's how I would see it. We'll go to Ryan L. Thanks for the question, William. Ryan, fire away. You are on Front and Nationwide.
Hey, Porty. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, I'm just calling about Mike Babcock a little bit more. I don't remember watching too many games with him behind the bench personally. So I'm just wondering what type of coach that he really is. Is he more of a developmental guy? Is he a tough nose, you know, if you don't do it my way, get out of the way type of person? And more specifically towards like a Laine or Roslovic, is he the type of coach that could revitalize that incredible skill set that they both have and turn them into what we've all been wanting them to be?
Yeah, so he's very much the latter of the two that you presented. He's very, very, very intense, intimidating even to NHL players sometimes. I think he develops in his own way, but he's not, from my understanding, he is not interested in babysitting or spoon feeding. He is in the National Hockey League to win hockey games. And I've spent the last a couple weeks or so talking to people who've played for him, trying to get an honest picture of what that is like. We'll have that story published soon, hopefully. He drives a hard bargain, and that's what they feel like they need. And to your second question about Roslovic, Laine, Elvis, I don't think you said Elvis, but I put him in there as well. To me, it just depends on what they're up for and how they respond to this. I think, you know, there are a lot of people, older coaches in this league, who think that Babcock is one of the great, great teachers, coaches, one of the few people who literally makes his team better than other coaches do. In other words, he plays an outsized role in the success of the team. He can be that he's that prepared. He is over the top prepared. And so that can be motivating for some guys. It can also be intimidating, leave some guys in the dust. He's not, from my understanding, an overly warm person to anyone on the team. I think with coaches like Hitchcock and Tortorella, just when you thought you couldn't stand them anymore, they would show you some level of humanity. Humanness, maybe, is the right word there. And Babcock doesn't necessarily have that reputation that he is basically all business. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Now, does he, one of my first questions to him, I think, is does he need to change? Can he change? Will he change? Because I don't know where he, what he feels about all these things that have been said about him. But he's not warm and cuddly. No. By all accounts. So I don't know how Ross Levick or Lonnie will respond to him. I think it was a mixed bag, frankly, under Tortorella at times. I thought Elvis Merzlikins played some of his best hockey under John Tortorella. So
agreed.
It can go, I would say it can go either way, but it's kind of up to them, up to both parties.
Gotcha. So under his tutelage, would you see that maybe the two players that actually might help us the most or grow the most under him would be like a Cole Sillinger and a Voronkov, those guys that are, have always just never taken a shift off, even when it seems like the game is out of reach? Are those the type of guys that are going to do extremely well under a Babcock type of
Yeah, you know, I think it's really hard to say, honestly. I like it. Somebody mentioned it this way to me a week or so ago, and I get this. You know, you find out in the summertime who your school teacher is when you're a little kid, and half the time you're not really happy about that. But many of those school years, you find out not too far into it, like, damn, this is a really good teacher, and he or she is making me better. And I don't know why it works for some or why it doesn't work for others, but sometimes it just works. I had that experience several times growing up where the person you didn't want to have as a teacher ends up being one of your favorite teachers. And, you know, there are a lot of players I know that expected to hate John Tortorella and hate Ken Hitchcock. And they speak, listen to Jake Voracek talk about Ken Hitchcock now. I mean, it's some great stories. Derek Brassard always tells the great story about him and Voracek going into Hitch's room with three things that they didn't understand. They went in seeking clarity on these three things. And Hitch was so intent and so fired up that these young guys wanted to have this extra conversation. Voracek says, we go into the room with three things we have a question about. We come out of the room with a list of 12 things we can work to get better on. It's like, it's just passion exudes. And they look back on it and they love it. Rick Nash counts Ken Hitchcock as the guy that changed his career. And I mean, that's, I can't think of a better compliment if you're a coach. But there are a lot of players that when Ken Hitchcock was hired said, oh God, this is going to be absolute hell because he is miserable. And it just works. For some guys, it just works. Same with Tortorella.
Perfect. Thanks, Porty. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you, Ryan. We got some text questions here. We'll go for a few more minutes. We'll get back to the stage if we can. Patrick D says, Yarmo has said reset and JD has said brick by brick. The recent moves indicate a win now mentality, the opposite of brick by brick. Is Yarmo sacrificing the slow, natural growth of his team to save his job? Seems he's trying to rush the reset because his seat is now at minimum and for the first time in his tenure getting warm. I think Yarmo wants to win. It's probably naive to say that he's not feeling the heat. I think they're all feeling the heat to get this thing going. Rebuilds are really, really easy until, you know, you have a season like the Blue Jackets had last season. And then everyone gets pissed off and impatient. But I don't think the answer could possibly have been to say, you know, we're going to stick with these young defensemen. So let's see. Ben M., what am I missing about not sending Elvis down to the AHL last season to find himself? If someone claims him great, the contract is off the book. Yeah. I mean, it was a thought. I think it'll be a thought this year. No one's going to claim him. But yeah, I mean,
Clint C. says, has anyone asked whether or not the Jackets have entertained the idea of moving to number two to guarantee the guy they want, or are they happy with whoever is left over? I think they're trying to figure out exactly what the Ducks are doing it to. The last thing you want to do is move up to two when you could have gotten Fantilli at three. I'm not saying you could get Fantilli at three. I don't know. I'm not sold that the Ducks are taking Fantilli at second, but I would be surprised if they didn't. He's just such, he is such a Duck. Jonathan says, thanks for doing this. Based on your conversations with scouts, what's the main difference between Leo Carlson and Fantilli? Is there something one does better than the other? Still anticipating Fantilli too. So Fantilli is physically developed probably a year or two ahead of Carlson. He is a big together dude. He plays with snarl. I don't think most NHL coaches would be concerned about putting Fantilli at center ice and just giving him two skilled wingers. I think Carlson probably early in his career is going to have to be protected both in who he plays against physically, who he plays with on his line, who what he needs. I think Carlson's probably a more gifted playmaker, maybe a touch more skilled in terms of puck dangling, but Fantilli is an incredible skater, and Fantilli most years would be a delightful number one overall pick. There's no question. This is a really good draft. Carlson's going to be bigger. He's 6'3 already, every bit of 6'3. He could be, that dude could end up 6'4, 225. It's a big man. Fantilli's already pretty thick, but I don't think he's ever going to reach that size. So they're different models. I think Fantilli gives you an additional physical edge that really nobody else in the top four or five, including Michkov, including Bedard, gives you. And so that's kind of his calling card. Yarmo has said the character is prioritized within the organization multiple times over the years. However, the Babcock soon-to-be hiring and Provorov trade seem to be in stark contrast with that. Do you think Yarmo owes the fan base an explanation given these moves? The old This Is America and free speech response rings pretty hollow. I think he has... I think that is Yarmo's response to that, fair, like it or not, fair or not. I think that is really all he probably is going to say on the matter, but that's up to him and the club. If they were truly, like, listen, the Babcock stuff, they believe Mike Babcock's telling of the stories, clearly. I think that's what we can say. They think that the reports of his boorishness have been greatly overstated. I don't think, and I don't want to speak for them, but I don't think they agree with Provorov, but they defend his right to disagree with them as to how he feels about pride, wearing a pride sweater. I think that's where they come down on this. They've said as much. I don't know. I guess I should leave everything else up to them. I don't need to speak for them. They acquired them. They're obviously willing to put up with the backlash that ensues. Rob C. says, do you think the Blue Jackets will still look to add a veteran C like Kevin Hayes? Well, are they set? I don't think they're set. I think Kate Haves is problematic on many different ways. But wouldn't rule it out. The guy can play, the guy can score, but there's a lot of things that would have to happen, like Philly finding out a way to eat, what, 50% of that contract, 40% of that contract, a lot of it. $7 million is super rich. Zachary H. says, do you expect any more movement to happen before the
NTMC for other teams on July 1st for the NTM. Huh. Yeah, I do. I think they'll do some stuff at the draft. Yeah, I don't think they're done. Don M says, is Bedard really that much better than the rest? With the Jackets offered this year and next year's first round? They would. And a prospect to move up to take him? Oh, absolutely, they would, Don. Yes. This year's first, next year's first, and a prospect? Absolutely. I think they would probably do that in a roster player or two. A young roster player or two. Yes. Yes. He is that good. Freakish. Let's see. Michael M says, hey, Purdy, I feel if we acquire a top six center like Lindholm, we'd become a truly dangerous team. What would we need to be added to a package like Roslovic plus Peak plus a prospect like Kuhlermans or Malatesta to get it done, in your opinion? Well, I think, yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I'm not sure what, I think Calgary is looking to remain pretty relevant. So I'm not sure Roslovic, Peak, and a prospect, even a middling prospect, as you've mentioned, would get it done. I think you'd have to give a little bit more. I think it would have to hurt quite a bit more than that, to be honest with you. Vancouver, Philip, and Vancouver's the only team that's discussed moving up for Carlson. Do you know if there's been any discussion with Vancouver regarding the number three pick? I'm sure there's been discussion. Yarmo mentioned that that many teams have called about the three. He's not moving out of that spot unless he gets to like four or five and something. I mean, he's got to know probably four. I don't think he wants to go to five. I think he's got to know he can get a center in this draft, and I think he'd want something significant to do that. He may even want a number one center in return for that. That's young with term a lot. Yes. Johnny H says, how do you pronounce Pascal Vincent's last name? The way all CBJ people do, Vincent, or the Pierre LeBrun way, Vincent? Also, what's your take on Isbell's new record? Well, I say Pascal Vincent, which is probably somewhere between Murica and LeBrun, probably somewhere in between. LeBrun, of course, is from Montreal, Quebec. And so he says it the way it should be said. The new Isbell record, I really, really like. I've heard a lot of it before it came out. There's some pretty powerful stuff. He also did a cover of Sunvolt's Windfall the other day on social media, which was awesome. Jason Isbell forever. Let's see. Sean P, could you envision a scenario where Yarmo trades for both Wild Bill and Lindholm? My God. Couple with who they take at three, and the only weakness is goalie real fast. Sean, I like your world, man. You are a make it happen kind of dude. That's a lot. I'm not sure that's happening, but dream a little dream. Thomas F. says, any word on dates for Traverse City Prospects Tournament? I have not heard the dates yet. We'll pass those along as soon as we got them. Did find out that development camp starts July 1st. One other thing you should know, I mentioned in there that it's back at Nationwide this year, we assume. Well, that's what happens when you assume. It is not at, much of it is at Nationwide, but the skating part of it is not at Nationwide because they've taken both ice sheets out this summer. They're getting a new ice plant in Nationwide for both the big house and for the practice rink. So look for more info on that, and this really comes into focus when the draft happens, but development camp starts July 1st. Some of it will be at Nationwide. I assume some will be open to the public somewhere. The skating is usually the most interesting thing. And that's probably going to be at one of the suburban rinks again. Last year was a chiller north. So stay tuned for info there. It'll come from the club or it'll come from whoever gets it. But they're not going to be skating it nationwide. Thanks everybody for listening. I appreciate it. We went more than an hour today. Good stuff. Sorry we didn't get to everybody. We'll get back to you next week, or if something crazy happens in the next couple of days, we can jump on and do it as needed. But thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to y'all very soon. Take care.